If I would have judged him, man, he didn't make it.
He did several dumb things.
Yeah, I'm glad that's not the qualifier. Or the disqualifier.
I know he was in.
According to your Bible, I didn't say it, mine.
Well, Bible.
I mean, he has more.
Less sin I have in my life, I believe the closer I probably will be to the Lord. If the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, why wouldn't you confess it? I mean, that's really what is behind that. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you're not confessing it, obviously either you're thinking it's not a sin or you're going to choose to live in it. Which one you want? You may turn your back on God, but I just don't know that God's going to turn his back on you.
But if we do say, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all your heart, and right. Whatever comes after the and right. Is now works to some extent.
Well, and I think sometimes the and kind of helps define what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want to make sure that I don't live by easy believism.
Mm-hmm. What's your sweet spot for the right size for a Sunday school class? Do you have a thought on that? Or is it?
Yeah, well, I think there's plenty. I mean, a lot of times it depends on room size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think once you get over about 15, you're starting to get into some issues.
Yeah.
20 is not a problem. It's just that's a lot of people, and I'm more apt to talk in, just like Sunday. I mean, there was six people. I'm more apt to talk in front of six than I am 20.
Yeah.
And
you are, or your wife?
Anybody.
Okay.
I think most people are probably that way.
Once you get above 10 or 11, okay, yeah. now it's going to become the extroverts.
Yeah.
And then it's going to become the same four people. Or five. And you hear all theirs. Well, there needs to be. And right. Then sometimes they'll share, but most of the time it's going to be those.
Yeah.
And so the smaller the group, the more intimate. At the same time, you never want to just develop that koinonitis where it's just us.
Mm-hmm.
And when a guest comes in and you feel like, I am infringing on somebody's, rights or infringing on this group. I'm not a part of this clique.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you got to work towards, no matter who comes in, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a great time. We want to love on you and look at God's word. So that's usually your thing. And if you look, oftentimes our older classes get that number. 15, 20, 25, they'll stay together. They might grow a smidge, but not much. But what's eventually going to happen is, hey, Father Time's undefeated. Mortality rate's 100%. Sooner or later, it's going to start because we've got some classes that, they're older and they're probably not going to grow. 90-year-old classes just don't grow fast.
Well, I've enjoyed our class. We managed to still grow despite one of our founding members leaving us this week week.
We almost doubled.
Al, I gave him my quarterly. I said, you need to be there.
Yeah.
Here's my quarterly. I'm studying.
Yeah.
I'll see you Sunday. Then Brian just... I just said, why don't you get down there?
Yeah. I enjoy it. I was telling Brian, Brian's one of these people I've been wanting to meet and wanting to talk to for a long time. And just I say hey to him all the time. He's one of the most friendly folks in the church. Every time I walk in, he's greeting us. He's just nice as he can be. But I hadn't really had a chance to sit down and talk with him much until Sunday morning. I had a great time chatting with him. And, one of those people that you look forward to meeting. And then after you did, you realize, I see why I was looking forward to meeting him.
He's
I enjoyed
a nice
that.
Guy, yeah.
He's got a little bit of a Vincent Gambini from my cousin Vinny, the attorney. He's got a little bit of that look. To
he's
him.
Got ties with the underworld.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that was so intriguing. Shout out to you, Brian, if you listen. I hope I don't make you mad by what I'm about to say. But when I see him, it's like, man, my man is showing up to church on Sunday in a black leather jacket, buttoned up shirt all the way to the top with a cross necklace hanging over the top of it. I mean, I'm like, I dig that look. That was one of the first things I was ever going to say to him. There was one day I passed him. I was like, man, I didn't say it, but I thought if I see him on the way out, I'm going to tell him how much I dig that get up because I wish I could rock that on Sunday morning. And get away with it,
I will tell you this now.
man.
He can do anything. He can fix anything.
Yeah.
He is so mechanically
inclined. It's unbelievable.
Just tell me what the problem is.
Yeah.
And I look at it. It's just like somebody from the, he reminds the people that grew up in the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
They had families there. They can do anything. They're very creative.
To.
Yeah, had to. And he was just like, I know what your problem is. Just like, you get somebody out there, like HVAC. He's good at HVAC. I've had people at HVAC, they can't figure out the problem. But then he told me, it's probably this. And sure enough, that's what it was.
Yeah. Welcome back to the 167 part 2 or this will be a part one. I don't know which.
Well, let me back up one second. What you said, because I didn't quite get it, when you said Abraham and Lot were doing good things.
No, Noah. The days of Noah and the days of Lot. Right before God was going to bring destruction, he doesn't list out all the gross sins, even though there was plenty.
Okay.
He lists out, they were just going about their business without God in it.
Oh, well, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
When you said Lot, I was trying to
Sodom and Gomorrah. That's, and then it says, think about Lot's wife who kept looking back.
And you would think, until you read in, is it Peter, or that Lot was a righteous man?
Mm-hmm.
Until I got to that verse, I didn't think Lot was a righteous man at all. Where he
I think
living.
He made some mistakes.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, we can't judge people at the end of their life by just reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Because that's another issue, that if I would have judged him, man, he didn't make it. He turned back his,
he did several dumb things.
But then when I read Peter,
I'm glad that's not the qualifier.
I mean, he had child molested.
For the disqualifier.
I know he was induced, but he molested his own children twice at least.
Right. Yeah. Well, one was a drunken stupor.
Well, I know. I mean, I know they planned for him to do that, but he still
And
didn't turn it down.
Even to their defense.
Yeah.
You just saw the world destroyed.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just thinking we got to carry on the human race. I'm not justifying it.
Well,
I
thought it said that we want to carry on his race.
Well, either way, they just saw the world destroyed. They don't know.
Well, and maybe he did have other. I hadn't thought about that, but I think he probably had other children, just two girls.
All it makes you think is those two girls.
Yeah, I know, but then he try and get his son-in-laws too.
Don't know think about that.
So that. But they weren't married. Right. I have to just read that scripture there.
Check that again. Yeah, just look at it tonight. You'll get it. You'll see it. I'm not saying I'm just saying I'd love to know too, but I'm pretty sure that's pretty much the.
Let me write that
down. You got to think. Why would you do that?
Yeah. I thought that because I had never read it that way before, but I thought maybe he had either sons or daughters that were already married there.
Right.
Because I believe, I'll check that out.
One of the simple little, I don't want to say sarcastic, it's not that. One of just the simple little pointers that God, I think, pointed out for me this week is when I was thinking about, okay, well, I've actually said to Mom or somebody that there's only a certain amount of hours in the day that I can pray. I mean, we're all constrained by time. So when somebody asks me to pray for something dumb, I'm not praying for that. There's only so many things that I can pray for, and I'm sorry, I'm not. And same thing with myself. I think I started to look at it, prioritizing, okay, well, my needs need to come last, or I need to pray for other people's needs first. Okay, well, there was a simple little thing when God kind of pointed out that, okay, well, if you don't have time to get to your needs, then pray more. Are you praying every single one of those hours that you can pray? And I thought, no, I'm not. I mean, if I can find myself to, there's a simple solution to that problem. If you feel like, well, I just don't have time to get around to my needs, which might be a righteous way to try to attack that and say, well, other people's needs first.
Right.
Okay, fine. Well, then pray more. And you'll have time more for more years.
And like I said, I mean, there is nothing wrong. I think it goes back to, sometimes Lord, you know my needs, and Lord, you know we've got to eat, we got to do this, and God has done that over and over again. And I don't know that it's necessarily okay, Lord. Today I need bread. For some people, it is.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
For others, and I think the key is that godliness with contentment is being content, not necessarily just settled, but being content in God. You have provided. You give over and over again, and Lord, I'm thankful for how you do it. But I think the gratitude is what goes in behind it so much.
And I think this might be the silliest thing. I just kind of thought of this a minute ago, but I think one of the silliest things that I've thought of, this kind of started on a show where I said I've learned to want God's will and not just accept it. And I've gotten to a point where it's just like, I don't even want to tell you what to do. I just want to sit back and let you do it.
Yeah,
and
I think your will be done, because God, I don't even.
Yeah.
I
got to a point where I think the way I would describe it is I almost got to a point where I didn't want to ask for anything too specific because I was afraid he'd get mad at me if I asked for something that he knew was something that might sound like help Gabe do well on this test. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, or even give me my daily bread. Well, I ate yesterday, Lord, pray for, somebody else can eat today. It's silly to think that if I ask for something that help I don't know, think of an example, but you ask for something that might be a righteous prayer, it's fine to ask for it, but him withholding it from you is actually what's best for you. Right. You've talked about that. Patience grows faith, and right. and
those things build together.
And also, knowing that he will, even though he hasn't, is something I had it circled here. I think that's something you said. Having faith that he's going to answer that prayer, even if he hasn't yet, builds that faith, and that's the number one thing on his priority list for us to have anyway, is faith right. in him.
And he gives us that burden, and right. because what kind of burden is it if you just ask once and check out?
Right.
It is, and that's not what the widow was doing. It wasn't just asking once, sitting back and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
No, this was she was kept coming, kept knocking, kept seeking. And that's the call. I mean, yeah. I've heard people actually say something that's something to the extent of, well, if I have faith, I'm just going to ask for it one time. I don't have to ask again. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I don't see that.
Yeah.
Because Jesus kept saying, keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. You know, I dare say Jesus had faith. But he went back in the garden and prayed three prayers. One was different than the last two. But if he's got faith, why is he got to ask again?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe it's just, again, it illustrates your dependence. Or as I like to say, show me your prayer life and I'll show you what you're dependent upon.
Yeah.
If you don't have much of a prayer life, I dare say you're probably dependent upon yourself and self-effort.
Yeah.
So he did have son-in-laws.
But they weren't in the cave.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that. I was saying that he had...
He's going back.
No, I
found... You knew he was going to. You knew he was going to.
I said he had other family.
Yeah.
I thought he did. I couldn't remember.
But for that at that cave, those three.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't, you know, in a way, you have to think. They must have thought. And then from that comes the Moabites, and from there come the Edomites as well are going to come from there. No, that comes from Esau. I mean, if you just saw the end,
they weren't married yet. I did read that. I didn't know that they weren't married, but he was calling his son-in-laws anyway.
Right.
According to your Bible, I didn't say it in mine.
According to his Bible.
I mean, he has a more updated. This is a King James of...
From 1619, that's the first translation.
Yeah, so he has a number... 150, 200.
1615.
Yeah. I know. How many translations have been since the King James and with better manuscripts?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, but I think it does go back that, you know, it is, to me, I think it's the heart behind it, you know, and I don't know. I had a little note on the side of my Bible to stress this, that it's not the quantity of words.
You know.
It's the quality of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really, I mean, when you boil it all down, that's really what prayer is about. And I think that's what the Lord looks at. You're not going to impress him with a bunch of words, and you're not going to impress him with big words. What you will impress God with is faith. I mean, that's Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So,
do you think you got to confess all your sins?
For what?
I mean, because we sin daily.
I think it's beneficial.
Well, I agree, but do you think you have to?
To ever have salvation? Are you talking about somebody who's already saved?
Or are you talking about somebody that has been saved? Let's just say, off the top of my head, a Christian kind of falls back, commits adultery, driving home, has a wreck.
So you're saying that person would lose their salvation?
No. No.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my question
like
is.
What you're saying. I'm just saying. It's a binary proposition.
My question is, did he have to confess that?
Again, my question is, for what to happen? To be right with God?
Yeah.
Because I don't think, here's what I like to think of it is this. Sin does not destroy the relationship, but it does destroy fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you as close to God as you probably could have been? Absolutely not. I mean, you could have been a lot closer, because I believe the less sin I have in my life, I believe the closer I probably will be to the Lord. Because, well, Psalm 66:18, as far as your prayer life, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. Here's my other question is this. And again, I'm not saying it would be the answer, but part of me is, if the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind, why wouldn't you confess it? But I think that might reveal even bigger problems, because you know, hey, look, there's been things that I've done or said, mm-hmm. And it might be 3-4 days later, the Lord jumps all over my stuff and says, "You need to call that guy and tell him, man, I was a little short with you, and I'm sorry." And you know what I found? A lot of times they're like, "Well, I didn't know anything. I didn't notice anything." Well, no, the Lord told me I was, and so you just have to forgive me. And
he saw your heart.
Yeah. Knows where I was. That's right. Yeah. What I was thinking and doing.
Well, and just because he didn't...
It didn't bother me, but it bothered you because you were thinking something.
And so my question would be, why wouldn't I? If the Lord has convicted me of it, unless I want to argue with him or I'm thinking, well, no, I don't think it is a sin, God. Well, I mean, that's really what is behind that. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you're not confessing it, obviously either you're thinking it's not a sin or you're going to choose to live in it. Which one you want?
Well, let me take it.
I mean, I'm just saying, isn't that right?
Well, that's true, yes. Yeah. But let me take it this way. And this is a true story. He was the next, he was going to be the Billy Graham before Billy Graham. I can't think of his name. Templeton might have been his last name.
Okay.
He was from Canada. Him and Billy Graham attended, started out in the ministry together. He was the one to succeed. Not Billy Graham, but this guy. He got into first of all, they were doing a lot of crusades, and he was winning thousands of people to Christ. He got into this disbelief. Why do bad things happen to people if God's in control?
Right.
Eventually, and that kind of destroyed his ministry. He went out.
So it destroyed his faith too?
Yes.
Okay.
And eventually, he came out with a book, Why I Do Not Believe in God Anymore. Mm-hmm. What happened? First of all, I'm just, you're seeing this kind of stuff. Now, you say once saved, always saved. And I can agree with that. But this guy went out of his way and tried to prove it, that there is no God.
Right. And did he die shortly after that? I mean, do we know the rest of the story? I'm just curious.
Well, he died. I don't know if he died before Billy Graham or not.
But, I mean, do we know anything that took place after that? I'm just curious.
I don't know. No.
I'm just curious because, a lot of times we
became atheists.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. And I wish I could remember Gary
Templeton played for the Padres, I believe.
Yeah, he did. That's right. But
probably wasn't him.
No, he was too young.
I had his ball card, yep.
I remember him, actually. I can't remember his name. But I will find it.
Oh, I wish you would. And I'd like to know, all right, what was the rest of the story? Because oftentimes...
He tried to reconcile it for years and years. I mean, he graduated from Bible College and everything.
Yeah.
And
then,
no, I've never heard of that one. So I'd love to find out exactly who, what, where, and when. And then, again, the rest of the story is, did he die that way? I'm just curious.
As far as I know, he did.
Right.
There was no confession that I was wrong or anything.
Right.
So what do you think, how do you deal with a person like that? How do you comfort his family? Or is there a point in time where you can lose your salvation by, I wouldn't say neglect, but actually...
actively walking away, denouncing.
Yes.
And I don't know that there's necessary. I mean, you could make some, you can proof text and pull a verse out here and a verse there.
I try to
back that up. Very easily, you could pull a verse out here and a verse there, or a text here, and say, "See, it's easy."
Well,
I don't know. I'm of the notion of it'd be very difficult for me to buy scripturally. I'm not saying it can't happen. As far as renouncing all the way to where you may turn your back on God, but I just don't know that God's going to turn His back on you.
Yeah, but you've done so much damage. You've hurt so many people's faith. Yeah.
Again, that's why I want to know the rest of the story.
Listen to Paul Harvey.
Yeah. I mean, did God take him out right then as soon as the book was published, or was
he lived to about 70. Okay. Yeah,
I need to know about this.
Well, the thing about that is you don't know this. None of us know if in his final breath, if he...
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know on his deathbed, was there... I'm just curious.
Well, let's say on his deathbed he didn't.
Okay.
Let's just say he didn't.
I go back to... My personal thing is this. When I came to Christ, He forgave me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it if I make a mess of my life after that. He still loves me. And I'm still saying, You know, I can pull, you can proof text and pull something out of Hebrews and say, yeah, you can just walk away from it.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
And I'm just not sold that that is necessarily what it
is.
That's
a hard text.
At the same time, I mean, Hebrews is written to a group of Jews who had become Christian and are thinking about going back to Jews.
When I say Christians, they repented.
I'm pretty sure he says we a lot. That he's putting himself in the same boat. And he also talks about the salvation that they have.
Did they actually have salvation?
Show me where they didn't in Hebrews.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Were they saved to begin with?
The way that I look at it and the passages
I'm
teaching,
most
definitely. Well, I'm trying to give you the proofs is when he talks about we, and we have tasted, we have done this. He puts himself right with them.
But it looks like they would lose their salvation. That's the question that I'm asking.
That's what I'm arguing is I'm not sure they lose it. As maybe they're not walking in and enjoying it.
Okay.
I guess the only...
So you're saying they did at one time have salvation.
Just like your friend.
That's what I'm asking.
Gary Templeton.
Padres.
That's the question I'm asking because I don't know if they were saved to begin with, but you say if they were saved to begin with...
I'm coming from Hebrews saying, they were saved.
Okay.
Because he even chapter 2, he talks about drifting away from the faith and let's not neglect such a great salvation. Well, there you are. I mean, to me, if you're going to neglect
something. What chapter
was that? Chapter 2, verse 1.
I thought you were talking about chapter 6.
Well, chapter 6 is even more difficult. If I was going to try to prove, you can lose it. Hebrews 6, but that's not exactly everything that's being said there. And what I'm saying is, I'm going back to, I'm not even worried about, your concern wasn't necessarily whether they're going to lose it.
You're the whole book.
You're even concerned whether they had it.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm pretty sure they had it, because when you look at chapter 2, verse 1, even chapter 3, verse 4, chapter 4, he is talking about, he's giving them warnings of, don't neglect, don't do this. To me, it is straight up to a body of believers.
Well, I kind of go to a point where there are a couple of verses in the New Testament. One of them is in Acts where Paul quotes a poet or something. He was a Greek.
Right.
But he said some good things that were actually true. And I go back to where I see these, I hate to say this, but I see these television evangelists that probably aren't living right, maybe not even saved. But I also know that God's word will not return to him void, no matter who speaks it. Whether they're saved or not, I don't know. But that kind of justifies.
My
mind justifies.
So the question I have is, all right, you got a pastor that disqualifies himself morally and doesn't repent. Was he ever saved? I mean, again, there's no way to really, really answer that, because that's between them and God.
Yeah.
And that's going to be hard. Can God use even some of the most crooked things? Sure.
He does it every day. Yeah.
But I still go back to that when it was genuine. And again, we can all drift. And that's what Hebrews chapter 2 is talking about, is drifting.
But a lifetime of drifting?
You drift enough, it can.
Okay. I just wonder where
I'm using it as, think about any relationship you have. If you neglect any relationship you have, it's going to drift. It's going to fall. It's going to go away.
You see that in divorce.
Marriage. You see that in your children. You see that in any, your brothers and sisters.
In the way you posed this question, would it have made a difference if he had fallen away at 25 and lived to 95 versus falling away at 90 and lived to 95?
My human part of me says yes, but my spiritual part just says no.
Yeah, because there comes a point in time where you just have to reconcile, I guess, that it doesn't matter what the sin was. I had just one bad thought right before I'd been in a car wreck, and I didn't get a chance to repent versus somebody else that did a 80-year
thing was going back to that. I mean, that's where you went all the way to Gary Templeton. It started with, I'm in a car wreck, and I cussed a guy out to cross the yellow line. Mm-hmm. And he hits me, and I don't see tomorrow. Not confessing that sin is not going to keep me out of heaven. Because, again, I go back to, I don't know that, I believe it is that initial response, I'm identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That begins the relationship. Now, the fellowship part afterwards, And again, I don't know if I got to worry about it if I'm going to come and die.
Well, see, I think a lot of times if you're not in fellowship, you kind of doubt yourself. You kind of doubt your salvation. You kind of doubt a lot of things that happened in the past.
If you're not in fellowship or not in relationship?
Well, in fellowship with God. When I say fellowship, yeah. I'm not talking about not being saved. I'm just talking about...
Well, fellowship is that closeness.
Broken fellowship. Yeah. When you get away from that closeness, it's just like I have to tell my wife that I love her, try to, every day, even though I don't act like it sometimes.
Right. Well, you might
say she needs that. She needs to be known. Well, telling her last week does nothing for her this week.
Well, I mean, I agree.
It's a different day.
Well, and I think the opposite of that is true. We can drift away. It's real easy to drift. Yeah. If you begin to neglect things, it drifts. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. Just like drifting away does happen by accident sometimes. But spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. It's something you got to give yourself to. That's why he says, don't neglect such a great salvation and thereby drift away.
I want to go back to the other end of the spectrum on salvation for a second, because that was my other question. Gabe's been talking about it with me a decent amount for several months, I guess, wanting to get baptized. And I feel like we've had the conversation enough times that I've kind of said, well, when you want to get baptized, get baptized. Like, you know what it's about at this point. Like, it's not where it was a couple years ago when he first kind of brought it up to me. I think he kind of gets it. And then Sunday, we're just sitting down for church, and he says, when can I get baptized? I said, well, we're at church. I mean, if you want to get baptized, when he does the altar call, go down there and get baptized. I mean, like that, I mean, that's why they do the invitation at the end of it. If you're ready, go. Right. And then he said, well, I'm not going to be here during the altar call, because we had children's church, and he went with me. So anyway, we get home that night, and he brings it back up to me again, and I told him I'd talk to you about Santa in a time we can come over and let y'all chat a little bit. And, now, Reese, of course, and I knew this was coming with her. She's like, well, I want to get baptized too. And
so, that was one of the reasons I was like, let's sit down and talk separate.
That's what I was thinking.
I know brother sister thing, and I want to, and I'm not doubting either one, but I think with her, it's almost obvious. Okay, big brother's doing it.
Well, and here's the thing with it. So we ended up, he comes into the living room about bedtime. I told you, they like to wait till bedtime and then start asking me all those questions. They got an hour out of me doing this all night. Yeah, they knew it. But he comes in there, just him to start with, and he says, so can I get baptized? And I said, Gabe, I said, I'm not the gatekeeper, first of all. I said, I think Ben would like to sit down and talk with you a little bit. I said, because for Ben, and I think this is a, it's kind of the point that I'm kind of getting at with it. I said, Ben wants to make sure you know what you're doing and wants to make sure you understand it, because a lot of churches, this kind of even ties in with the Gabe story a little bit. Gabe, I don't know if I've told this story on the show, but a few years ago, it was 4 years ago, somebody told him that they accepted Christ into their heart, and he said, asked me, what's that mean? And I explained it to him, and he said, well, I want to do that. Now, he's 8 years old at the time. Has prayed every night of his life and all that kind of stuff. But as far as really getting it, we hadn't really gotten into that much detail on it. But at the same time, my 8-year-old says, he wants to do this. I mean, I don't just like say go to bed and we'll talk about it later. So we talked about it, and I didn't really know how to answer it then. And, spoiler alert, I don't think I really do now either, which is why I'm bringing it up, because there's sort of two ends of the spectrum that I think are maybe both wrong, or both are right, or neither or something. I don't know. But I know a lot of churches that will – I saw a YouTube video of somebody trying to get Elon Musk to say one sentence, and when he said the sentence, they said, there he is. He's a Christian now, because he said, I believe in the teachings of Jesus. And, they said, well, do you want him to save you? And he said, well, sure, I'd love to be saved, I guess. And they said, well, all right, he's saved. We got Elon Musk saved. And I think I can remember going to things as a kid where they would say, close your eyes and say this prayer. And if you said that prayer in a minute, raise your hands and see how many people said it. And 800 people raised their hand, and 800 people got saved tonight. Praise God, Well, how many of them really were? Okay. Now, on the other side of it, we talked about on a show one time that I said, and I still believe this, the closer that I get to God, sometimes the harder it is for me to understand exactly what that is, that defines that. Because, and so when Reese comes in there and starts asking me her questions, I'm not trying to overcomplicate it, and I'm not trying to say it's so simple as you just have to believe. Right. As long as you believe in, yeah, well, in Jesus, then yeah,
it's not easy believing.
That's it. Mm-hmm. But it's also not. But then, see what I said to her, and I've got a verse I'll back this up with. What I said to her at one point was, "Yes, it is believing, but it's also following. It's also saying that you want to follow in His footsteps, and that you're going to, you know, trust His ways over your ways." And I give this really long answer. But at the same time, I'm looking at Acts 8:37. Is that it? Okay. Is that the one where the Samaritan says he wants to be baptized?
Yeah.
Now,
I was gonna say,
NIV leaves this verse out, which is a pet peeve of mine. But verse 37, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." According to Acts 8:37-38, that's all that's needed. Mm-hmm. It says nothing about, you know, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and now I'm going to follow in every single thing He tells me to do, forever, die to self, crucified in Christ, picking up my cross daily," all these things. Tremendous value in doing those things. Mm-hmm. But if we do say, "Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all your heart, and whatever comes after the "and" is now works to some extent."
Well, and I think sometimes the "and" kind of helps define what that means.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to believe in all your heart, or to accept Jesus into your heart, which is not in the in the scriptures?
Right.
But you know, I accepted Jesus in my heart. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, what does that mean? And what is it? I mean, I think for us, oftentimes, it's what does it look like. But I think also one of the things that I always want to caution about is, I believe easy believism in a way. I'm saved by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything. But now I want to make sure that I don't live by easy believism, because easy believism says all I need is to say a prayer. Well, the prayer ain't never saved it. It's Christ that saves it.
Right.
So now I want to make sure that I'm not walking in easy believism. And what that means is, since I have Christ in my life, and I've gone from spiritually dead to spiritually alive, there's got to be a difference. Mm-hmm. And that difference is where whether it's real or not.
Yeah.
To me. And again, I always go back to, you know, I wholeheartedly believe if it hadn't changed you, I'm not sure it saved you.
So there's really no sinner prayer.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, I've led people in it.
Yes, and I.
But there's
I
have nothing too, in the Bible that tells you no say this or pray this prayer and you're saved.
What you said, I have to go back to what Jesus said: repent.
Yep. That's it.
That's the fruit.
It's about a broken and contrite heart.
You will know
it's
somebody by their fruits.
Well, it's funny, Gabe.
Christian.
Gabe, so in this conversation the other night, he'd said, you know, "Do you think am I ready?" And I said, "Well, I'm not the gatekeeper, and it's not, you know, this is what if you believe this, then the baptism," I said, "I want to make sure," and I don't remember exactly what this was, "I said, I want to make sure you understand, being baptized is not what saves you."
Yeah.
Okay? And being baptized is not what gets you into heaven.
And I think it's always, the key question is, well, why are you doing it? Why do you want to
And I said, you know, that, and I explained that before, and I think this was more in a question form. I said, "Well, what is baptism about?" And he gave me his answer, and I said, "Yeah, okay." Then, but Reese in this was trying to ask me some questions that I really didn't know how to, she said, "Well, how do I know?" I'm like, I literally said that on a show one time and got three different answers from all three of us. Like, how do you know? I don't know how to know.
You're saved?
Right. Well, how do you know? Because I told Reese, I said, if you pray for God to show you how, He will explain and you will know it. And she said, well, Gabe had said at one point, he kind of pointed out, he said, "Do you remember when I said that I accepted Jesus into my heart?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm kind of thinking maybe I didn't know what I was doing at that time." And I'm thinking, I'm glad you said it and I didn't have to, because I've been wrestling with that a little bit. Like, you think you've done it because at that time, that's kind of what I let maybe go and thought, we'll address it later. But then Reese is asking, she's like, "Well, how do I know?" And I'm like,
there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
First of all, I think you always, when I'm talking with children or talking with anyone under the age of 12, about salvation, I always want to take into account their background, their home life. Mm-hmm. If you've got a kid that has nothing to do with church, parents don't go, okay, that one you need to start from square A.
Yeah.
But like for my kids, when Daniel came to me at 5 years old and said, "I'm ready to be baptized." "Well, wait a minute, son. Tell me why, and tell me what's going on here." "Well," he said, "I've accepted Christ, and you're supposed to do that out of obedience now, and I'm ready to tell the world this is who I am." And I was sitting there like, wait a minute, you're five, kid. But you got the answers. Mm-hmm. And part of that is, okay, you grew up in a pastor's home. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard me teach other people about it. Is that just a parroting, mm-hmm. Not parenting, parroting, that he's just repeating what he's heard, or is it legit and real? And so I told Renee, I said, what we're going to do with this one is we're just going to let it cook. Continue to fan that flame. Mm-hmm. And I always say the salvation of a child, the baptism, when they choose to get baptized, there's no race.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. not in a hurry. Yeah. I trust that God's got that. Yeah. You know, if something happens, if baptism ain't going to save them. And if that's where they are, God's going to take care of that child. So there's not a race there, you know, because they're, you know, hey, look, they don't know the difference between SpaghettiOs and Nudie, you know,
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. They're still learning and growing. But at the same time, never put it past. I mean, God used a king that was 8 years old and even described he did what was right in the ways mm-hmm. of the Lord. Well, if an 8 year old mm-hmm. can do it. So I think it's one of don't rush it. At the same time, it's one of the fact. And one of the things that I would almost come this close to saying, I don't know that I want to go all in, is the fact that you are asking that question mm-hmm. tells me that you yeah. probably are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just me.
Reese started when I was explaining. She got really almost, and this is where I can tell. It's so funny. Like I love talking about God. I love getting on into all this deep stuff. And then it comes to the biggest question in the world to my two kids, and I can't think of an answer to save my life. I am completely tongue-tied and don't know what to say. And I've about managed to confuse Reese literally to tears. She was crying. She's like, "Well, am I going to go to hell?" I said, "Baby girl, you are fine." I said, "Look, you're relaxed with it. Be patient with it." And you know, Reese could recite to you about the first chapter of John right now from a month of at Hilltop. And Gabe was saying when he brought it up the other day to me, he said, "Well, I know about all this stuff, and I've learned a lot more about it lately from you telling me about it and from Hilltop, and I understand more what it's about." Yeah. And basically, I need to get baptized so that everybody knows that I've decided to follow Christ.
It's an act of obedience.
Pretty much it. Now, the thing is, it wouldn't surprise me. Gabe and Reese have a very, very close, special bond. It's an interesting thing with them that they fight like crazy, and I have mm-hmm. caught them when we go to mom and dad's and we sleep in the same room. I've fallen into like a half sleep, and they're still up. And before they go to sleep, when they think I'm asleep, they say the sweetest goodnight routine ever. And it's like, and I literally wouldn't not.
So they do like each other.
I raised my head. I said, "Now, why in the world can y'all not do that when you think I'm awake?" So I look at it and say, you know, if they both have reached that point, I wouldn't feel bad about them both doing it at the same time. If it was an independent decision that they both made, I could see it being something that they wanted to do together.
Right.
But at the same time, I could also see Reese just not wanting to be left out too, and that's not, I don't want that either. And
yeah, and that's the tricky part. And I think that's the thing that that you know as a dad better than I would as a pastor, but that's why I want to meet individually with them because I want to talk with, and then comes the question of, okay, so what if I feel like, or, you know, talking with you that, man, Reese may need to set this one out. You know, that's going to be for you to, you know, have to tackle, or I can try to tackle it, but it's one of, just wanting to, it's because it's an individual decision.
There was a point in time where I thought that Reese might end up doing it before Gabe, but some of the questions that she was asking me and some of the things that she was, things like she said to me before, like, "I feel bad about the way I do it, and I want to do things better, but it's really hard to do it better, and how can I do it better?" And she's figuring out that's Romans 7. She's figured out Romans 7 real quick, and that she's trying out
confession, and mm-hmm. that's conviction. That's part of the Holy Spirit being in our life.
Right.
Is pointing out, you know, hey, this is, you need to have change here.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, repent.
But they were trying so hard, just like I'm trying to, me and Kenny both are trying to drill you to get a concrete answer. She was trying her best to drill me for a concrete answer. You know, am I ready? Am I ready? I said, "Baby," I said, "I will never, I pray for this every night. I pray for this for all of y'all." Yeah. I said, "And the thing is, I'll still pray for it for my entire life." I said, "Because you never know exactly what's in somebody's heart. I'm always praying for you to get closer to God." I said, "Technically, I don't know for sure if Ben has been. I'm pretty sure."
No.
I don't technically know what's in somebody's heart.
And there is times that you can look at someone's life and you see the fruit. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we are all fallen creatures, and what might be bearing fruit tomorrow might end up falling on its face.
Right.
Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for each and every one of us in this room and each and every born-again believer that, man, I've got it going on today. I'm walking by the Spirit. Tomorrow, right. And you can't even hardly get out of your way, and you are falling all over yourself, or you've done something stupid. Yeah, I think that we work out our own salvation, but we also make sure that we test ourselves to make sure we're in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, that we are constantly testing. Okay, what's the test? I don't know, go to 1 John. There's enough tests in 1 John that you can see, is this legit?
Yeah.
And I still go back to, and I know these are hypotheticals or they're the extreme cases, but on a day-in, day-out basis, it's always going to go back to, what difference has it made?
Yeah.
That's when it's real.
And I never really thought about it, but like you said, that the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. It's a good guideline, I guess, or point you in a direction that you need to go, but it's still faith alone. And then, how we know you're saved based on, you'll know them by the fruits.
Yeah.
That's how I know people are in Christian are saved. But that's not, I don't know your heart. That's only God. Only God knows that.
But there are some fruit that you can't reproduce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or that can't be copied.
Yeah.
It might be a cheap invitation, but you can tell it.
Well, it'll wear out.
Yeah, but there is some legit fruit that, and just go to the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. When you can love like Christ, like we talked about Sunday, when you can love like Christ, that's only comes from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. We'll sort this out. Bye, y'all.
Almost there. See ya.